Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. There we go. I can see that. I printed this, and sometimes from my phone to the printer. I mean, can anybody see that? Come on.
Oh my God.
No. We need a magnifying glass for that. But we've had a love weekend here at BBC on Friday. Friday night, we had a beautiful wedding here. Eddie and Selena got married. I almost said Selena Centron, but it's Eddie and Selena Witte now. And so we've all been praying for Pastor Angel, his little girl, getting married. I want to just brag on him a little bit. He made it through the whole ceremony. He did shed a couple of tears, right? So we had a running bet going if he was going to cry or not, if he was even going to make it. And he made it. And did such a great job and got to marry his little girl off to a wonderful young man. And so we're super happy for them. And just, you know, it's awesome to see love bloom. And the great thing was is Selena and Eddie met, I believe, in 6 to 11-year-old class. Yeah. Now, isn't that cute? They met in 6 to 11-year-old class. And now they're married. And so then, you know, probably sooner than you want, or they're going to have little kids, and they'll be in 6 to 11-year-old class, right? And so it's just a great thing, and so we just celebrate their love and congratulate them. They're heading off for a cruise today. What a way to honeymoon, right? And so Pastor Angel's driving them down there. That'd be funny if you had bags and said, I'm coming along. I don't think you'd want that. But praise the Lord. Today is Valentine's Day, and we're excited about that because it's all about love. And you know, the world perverts things, but God perfects things. Amen. And the true love starts with God. And so how many have ever heard the song or sang the song, Jesus Loves Me? What's the rest?
This I know.
For the Bible tells me so. And so today, that's the title of the message today, is This I Know. And so we're going to talk about just how much God loves us. God loves you. And you know, many people, I know you're sitting here today, and I see lots of church people in here. We've all been to church. We've all probably heard a message about God's love. But you know, it's one thing to hear a message about God's love. It's another thing to let that message be transformative in your life, where the information isn't just information, but it becomes a transformation. Where when you receive something, you know, how many have ever heard something, you just hear something, it goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't change you. It doesn't transform you. But when we hear information and we hear the truth of God's word, the goal is for it to transform us. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And I want to tell you in here today, if you live a life with a lot of fear of rejection, fear of being abandoned, fear of stepping out, any kind of fear, the root of that is that you need a greater understanding of just how much God loves you. And so we want to just take today. Today is all about love, right? I mean, how many have been to Publix or Target or Walgreens or somewhere in the last few days? I mean, it is just balloons and hearts. And we were at Publix the other day, and they even had, good-looking steaks. They had good-looking steaks, and they're in a heart-shaped package. Huh? Now you guys are like, that's my kind of Valentine, right? I mean, we're talking like big old Fred Flintstone kind of steaks. Remember Fred Flintstone when he'd throw like a giant steak on the grill? It was those kind of things. And they were in a heart-shaped thing. And I was like, wow, look at that. Now that's a Valentine, right? And so everything is about hearts today. And tomorrow, all that's going to be 50% off. Somebody say hallelujah, right? So the thing is that we're just surrounded by it, but we want to make sure we're getting the real thing. How many want the real thing?
Yes.
Amen. Anybody ever had like Czech soda? You know what Czech soda is? It's Winn-Dixie soda or even Publix soda. It is not the real thing. It doesn't taste like the real thing. It's just there are some things that generic is okay, like an off-brand, it's okay. But there are certain things where you just got to get the real thing. Amen. You know, soda is one and potato chips. Those, you got to get the real thing. But even more important than that, you got to get the real thing when it talks about love.
Yes.
And, you know, we say that word all the time, and I'll give you a little blast from the past. I wish I still had this video, but I don't have it anymore, but I wish I did. But years and years ago, probably, let me think, 13, 14 years ago, when I was youth minister, and we did a fun video, and we cast Ben. He was only about 13, I think, at the time. And we cast him and Amber Parada. We cast both of them, and they were on a pretend date. They weren't really dating, never really dated, so don't even get that idea. And so, but they went out, and every time Amber would, she would say, "Oh, I love these French fries. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this. I love this." And then at the end of the video, they were sitting there, and, you know, two little, they were pretending to be little lovebirds for our video. And she looked at him, and she said, "And I love you." And then his face was like, you know, you love everything, and then you say you love me. And so there's lots of different ways to use that word, but it originates and it comes from God's love for us. That's where it comes from. And so I'm not saying you can't say you love Reese cups, because I say that. I'm not saying that, but let's just make sure that we've got a solid understanding and we can sing that song we learned as babies and little guys. We can sing that song. Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen. How many want to know that a little more,
yes,
more strongly? All right, well, here we go. Let's dive into some scripture here. And you know where we're going to find this. You don't need to go to the self-help department in Barnes & Noble and find out how much God loves you. That's not where you're going to find it. You're going to find it right here in God's Word. Because remember the song, it says, "The Bible tells me so." And the thing about it is that everyone in the world is desperate for love. Everyone. People are desperate. They're desperately, inside people are screaming out, "Somebody love me. Somebody love me." And, you know, sometimes we see people's behavior and we think, man, what is wrong with that person, you know? What's going on there? What's causing them to self-destruct? What's causing them to make these poor choices and poor decisions? And really, we got to go to the root of things. Sometimes all we see is the fruit of the tree. And we think, if I just go pull that off of you, then you're going to be okay. How many know that doesn't work? Because there's root things. There's things that go deep inside our souls that cause us to have pain and to hurt and to desire. And the number one thing is, what causes those things is that we need to be loved. Everyone is designed. There is a part of you that searches and cries out for love. And if you try to get it in, how many remember the song, "Looking for love," where? In all the wrong places. You try to look for love in all the wrong places, you're going to get all the wrong fruit coming out.
Yes.
We got to go to the source of love and get our understanding from God, because that's going to, when you get that, it's going to start healing you, and it's going to heal you all the way down to the root issue of things. So what begins to grow out of you is no longer pain and hurt and self-destruction and bad choices. What's going to start growing out of you is righteousness and peace and joy and comfort,
yes,
and love. All those good things, right? And that's what we want. But we gotta take care of the root thing. You know, we have a tree at our house. It's a holly tree. And fortunately, we don't have any more. Has anybody ever had a Florida holly tree?
Yes.
They are indestructible.
They are
indestructible. We went out, it was on the side of our house, and we chopped the thing down, and we chopped it all the way down to the ground. Couldn't see a thing. And they grow fast. And then we had a couple of lawn chairs over there, and it's on the side, so we didn't really go over there much. That's like the dogs, where the dogs would go. We went out there probably six months later, and that tree, no lie, had grown back and had wound itself all into our lawn furniture. And it was like, this thing is like, it's like a Terminator. It won't go, you know? And somebody said, "Oh, if you pour gas on it, that'd go." Okay, we're going to pour some gas on this thing. No, it grew back. It grew back. That thing was indestructible. Finally, you know what we had to do? We had to get, Steve sent some guys over. He's like, I'll take care of that thing. He brought some guys over, and they took that thing out from the root. Yeah. I mean, they went all the way down. And you know what? That thing is gone. Because unless you deal with the root of issues, it's always going to come back.
Amen.
Always. And so we got to deal with the root. So we got to understand and know that every one of us is crying out for God's love. All of us want to have the love that fills us from the inside out. And if we don't get it from God, we're going to try to get it from all different places. And when we get it from all different places, it's always temporary. It never lasts. It's not going to last for us. And so let's make sure that we can sing that song, Jesus loves me. This I know. I know it. I know it. I got God's word on it. This information is not just information for me. Now it's transformed me. Amen? The love of God truly can transform you. And so don't have the attitude, oh, another service, another message on God's love, and write it off and say, oh, I've heard that. I've heard that. Don't do that. I know all of us have heard that. But let's make a decision now. I'm going to get this information, and it's going to, if I already know God loves me, I'm just going to get a deeper understanding. The Bible says in Ephesians where Paul writes and he says that we would know the width, the depth, the length, and the height of God's love, which is for us.
Amen.
God wants us to understand how high, how deep, how wide, how his love can just encompass and change us. His love is that big.
Yes.
People's love is not that big. How many figure that out? It's not that big. And when we put that responsibility on people to fill us up, and then we're going to be disappointed, and then we're going to say, why don't I have any relationships that work? Why didn't this marriage change my life? Why am I not happy now that I have this relationship? Because you're trying to get a person to do for you what only God can do for you.
Right.
Amen? People's love is to add to the love of God in our life. But if all we have is people love, we're going to be disappointed. Because people aren't perfect. There are some that are close. Valentine's Day, baby. There's some that are close. But they're not perfect. So we got to get that. We got to get God's love in us. And then let the people love add to it. And when you have God's love, and then you have a godly person love you, woo, watch out. Because you got the real deal right there. Amen? All right, now let's go here. Where am I at? Let me get to the right place. Here we go. Let me see where I'm at here. Turn over to John, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. It says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Oh, isn't that good? I mean, we could just read that scripture right there and say, oh boy, if we got a full understanding, how many know there's a difference between full, half full, quarter tank, and just a few drops? There's a difference. How many know if you got a full tank, you can go a while?
Yeah.
If you got a half a tank, you can go a little while. But if all you got is a few drops, you're going to be spitting and stuttering. And sometimes that's exactly how people's lives are. You're spitting and stuttering. You go a little bit, and then it's like just one little thing happens. You're like, oh, nobody loves me.
Yeah.
Nobody loves me. I don't have any friends. Nobody loves me. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, life stinks. Whatever your thing is. But, you know, if that's what it feels like when you're spitting and stuttering. We need a full understanding of God's love for us. And when you have a full tank of God's love, man, you're going to be able to go a while. Amen? You're going to be able to go a while. So let's read the scripture again. Oh, my phone keeps lagging. Here we go. It says, see what great love. The love that God has for us is great. And this, I love this next word. The Father has lavished on us. Oh, just think of that word, lavished on you. God didn't just say, here's a little dab of do ya. That'll get you through. No, he lavishes his love on us. His love is not withheld at all. The Bible says that God is love. It's not just something he does. It's who he is. When God enters into anything, love enters in.
That's right.
Because God is love. And the Bible says that he lavished his love on us. Love is an action. It's a verb. Love requires action. If it doesn't have action, then it's just a word. And the Bible says that God is love, and we see his action. We see how much he loved us by what he has done for us. Amen? You know, if somebody says, hey, I love you, but you never hear from them, they are never there, and they only call you when they need something. How many know people like that? Woo, don't raise your hand. Amen. It's Valentine's. Let's love everybody, right? You know, you only hear from that person when they need something. That's not love. That is misunderstanding of love. And sometimes when we start talking about how much God loves us, and we say, God, the Father, he lavishes his love on you. If you don't understand what love is, and your love is based on your experience, your love is based on how people have loved you, your love is based on that, then you're going to expect God to do the same. Sometimes you have to rehab. What does rehab mean? It means you make it over, right? It means you make it over. You know, if somebody goes to rehab, what's going to happen? They're going to get new habits. They're going to rehabilitate their life. They're going to learn that, hey, you've been doing it this way and dealing with stuff this way, but now let's teach you a new way. Let's get some new ways into you. You've been rehabbed. And sometimes we need to do that exact thing. We need to rehab our view and our understanding of what love is. So often people think love is a trade. If this is your thought process, and you need to rehab it, you need to get it right. You need to recognize, hey, that's broken down, that's not right, I need the right view. Love is not a trade. When you say, if you loved me, then you would. If you loved me, and you're always putting requirements on love, that's just trading. If you do for me, I'll love you. And if you think that's how God is, and you're going to put a mask on you, a performance, and you're going to say, as long as I'm doing good, then I know God loves me. How many know that's not true? Because the Bible says, even when I was a sinner, when I was at my worst, Christ died for me. Amen? So love has nothing to do with you, and everything to do with who's loving you.
Yes.
God loves us, and it's not based on my performance. And that's the thing. Sometimes we can put these masks on us that say, hey, you know, this is how love speaks. And I want to read a couple of them to you, because these are so good. And so a lot of people have these deep needs, and they have a misunderstanding of love. So when we say God the Father has lavished you with love, you're like, oh, great. Because you don't understand what love is. You think love is about you when it's not about you. Love is about him. Him putting it on you. You don't have to do anything. When you did nothing, when you did everything wrong, how many was there? You did everything wrong. You did it wrong, and then you did it again wrong, right? You did it wrong, you said, I'll never do it again, never do it again. There you went, did it again, right? I mean, that if I had more arms, I'd raise them, you know? But the thing is that the Bible says, and we got to get this understanding, because so many people run from God when they mess up, and they pull away from God thinking, oh, I got to do, and I got to be, and I got to change, and I got to do this. Then God will love me. That's wrong thinking. You need that thinking changed, because when you were at your worst, before you knew him, before you had him, before you even knew there was a God, the Bible says God loved you first.
Anyway.
He loved you first, and he loved you in spite of you. Amen. You know, I say that even now. I'm like, Lord, I am so thankful that you love me and you allowed me to be used by you in spite of me. Amen. In spite of me. God loves you right where you are. Doesn't matter where that place is. Doesn't matter. If you are, you know, people say, oh, God doesn't love you because you do this, and God doesn't love you because you live this way. No, if you are a human being, look around. How many we got in here? I don't see any aliens in here. God loves you. The only requirement to receive and to have God's love is that you're a human being. Amen. Isn't that good? And so the next time you're like, oh, you know, you say, no, I'm a human being. God loves me. I've been born. God loves me. I am here. God loves me. Amen. But here's some things that we can do, and we can put these masks on, because there's so many deep needs in our life. And when I read this book, and they call them love masks. I thought, oh, so I see people with these love masks on, because you think this is what love is. And one of them was performance. And if you have a performance love mask, it's a temporary counterfeit to real love. And it says, when you achieve and perform, there are people in our lives that are going to say, look what he did. Look what she accomplished. And we get a little bit of attention, and we feel that's love. Another one is a people. Oftentimes we get love and affirmation and value from people, whether it be kids and they do really good at school and we get a bumper sticker on our car. You know, I got a bumper sticker that says, my dog is smarter than your honor student. Amen? I think he is. Not all my dogs. They're not all smarter than anything. My dog Mozzie has no concept of up. You know, they say that's how you determine how smart a dog is. So we'll bounce his tennis ball, and it'll go up, and he'll go.
Where to go?
He has no idea. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes we think we get our feelings of love. These are counterfeit feelings of love based on performance. As long as I perform, then people will love me. And you know, a lot of times people get caught in that track, and they're just, they become perfectionists. As long as everything is right, as long as they're getting A's in school, as long as this, as long as that, then they feel like people love them. That's a love mask, because that's not real love. Or from people, as long as people like you, you feel loved. Well, you know what? One day everybody's not going to like you. Help me figure that out. One day people are going to talk bad about you. One day people that have looked you in the eye and said that they will be with you forever and that they are with you and God has called them with you, they're going to look at you and say, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. And so if you get love from that, boy, it's going to be hard to stand when they walk out, because people can leave you. That's life. It's life. And so that's why it's so important we got the real thing, so when those other things come, I can still stand. Because Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen? This I know. Another one, and this is a tough one to hear, but it's so good, is pity. A lot of times people they're just constantly in the victim mode. Oh, feel sorry for me. And so they feel like when people feel sorry for them and give them pity and say, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. And, oh, this is so terrible. And poor you. Poor you. They get love like that. Listen, that's not the kind of love you want. That's not the kind of love you want, because it's just attention. Don't mistake attention for love, because those are two different things. Don't mistake attention for love. And so sometimes we're just trying to get attention, because really what we're trying to get is love. And because we don't know how to get love, and we don't know how to receive love, and we haven't received the love of God, we're just trying to get attention. And sometimes we try to get attention by making people feel sorry for us. Listen, you don't want to stay in that victim place, because you're not designed to be a victim. God made you an overcomer. God made you more than a conqueror. God made you the head and not the tail. And when you try to be something you're not, it's not going to work. You're not made to be a victim. You're made to be a conqueror. Amen? That's how you're made. We're not the prey. We're the lion. Amen? That's who we are. And so we got to make sure that we're not trying to get attention from stuff. And sometimes we can stay in situations because it makes people feel sorry for us. And that's the attention. We just want that attention. Oh, this is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is good. Next one is just position. Sometimes they, hey, you know, look at me. Look at me. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. I'm in charge here. You got a position. You have a title. Sometimes we want that title so bad. Say, oh, if I have that title, then people will love me. No, that's not going to last. That's temporary. That's just filling up cracks on you, but the cracks are still there.
Yeah.
Amen? The next one is physical attraction. Some people are so consumed with their looks because they feel like that's all they've got. You know, they got them. You know, it is good to take care of ourselves and to look nice. I mean, I look out over here and everybody, you know, y'all combed your hair today and hopefully you brushed your teeth and, you know, you got all ready to come to church. And that's good. And we need to do those things because we need to take care of ourselves. But we cannot get to the point where the only way that I feel love is because I look good and people appreciate how good I look. Right? Because, you know, your looks aren't going to be there all the time. I mean, there's a book out. It says, beauty is fading, but dumb is forever. And it's a book about, you know, men, don't marry somebody just because of how they look. Because, you know, those looks are there, but those looks aren't going to last forever. And an unkind heart, boy, you know, you don't want to be with that. You don't want to be with that. So we don't want to get caught where we're getting our attention and what we're thinking is love just because how good we look. You know, there's some people that won't even go out of the house. Can't let anybody see them unless they're all made up and done up. Listen, the real you is beautiful too. And you need to be comfortable with the real you. I'm all for makeup. You know, Brother Hagin says, if the barn needs a coat of paint, what do? Paint it. Amen. You paint the barn, right? Listen, I'm all for that, but let's not make that more important than the real us.
Right.
Amen? And so we don't want to get so caught up in that. The next one is just, you know, those pleasure seekers, where as long as I'm having fun, I feel like I'm loved. As long as I'm, you know, it's like, oh, you know, when I do, I'm fun and I'm funny. And as long as I'm funny and I'm fun and everybody has a good time with me, then people will love me. Listen, everybody's not funny all the time. And it's great to be fun. It's great to have fun times. But we can't make that be our only source of how we feel people will love us. Because one day it's going to come and you're not going to be funny. And the real you is going to be there. The you without the jokes, the you without the stories, that you. And you got to know that you know that you, the you with everything stripped away, with your looks and the performance and the position and the people, with all that stripped away, you have got to be able to still stand and say, I know that I am loved. You have to have that confidence on the inside that will rise up and say, no matter what people say, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, I am loved. I am a child of God. Amen? And that's what 1 John says. It says that God loved us so much that he lavished his love on us and called us children of God. Amen? God doesn't love you like a stranger. You know how we say to people, and it's fine to say, hey, I love you. We love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and we love people that come to church, right? But we don't call them our children. But God loves us so much that he lavished that love on us. He lavished it so much and he loves you so much that he calls you his own. You are children of God. Oh, that's so good. Just let that sink in for a second. You're not just a hanger-on, you know, just somebody that hangs out with the family. How many ever had that? You know, somebody just hangs out with me. You love that person. They hang out with the family and they're good. But they're not you're not mom and dad, right? But God says he's your dad. He's your dad. And that's why, and I say this all the time. That's why the enemy fights so hard for the role of fathers in the lives of people. Because when you've had a goofed up childhood, and you've got a goofed up dad who didn't know he was loved by God, and then he didn't treat you right, and then when God says, I'm your father, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And so if that's you, the best thing that you can do for your life, for your family's life, for your children's life, for your future's life, is to rehab your view of who a father is. Because that's why this song is so powerful. He's a good, good father. He's a good father. Some people have no idea what that is. You know what a good father is? A good father is one who loves you no matter what. A good father is one who receives you no matter where you've been. A good father is one who never gives up on you. A good father is one who never abandons you. A good father is one who keeps his word. Amen. He keeps his word. A good father, when he says he'll be there, he's there. Amen. That's a good father. And so when you hear good, good father, that's the kind of father you got to realize God is. And he calls you his children. He is saying to us, I want to lavish my love on you so deeply, so thoroughly, so completely that you are my child. Oh, isn't that good? That's how much God loves you. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Of course, I printed my message with the backs. You know how I love that. The back of paper. I hate that. Turn over to John chapter 1, because I always forget to turn the page and I lose my spot. John chapter 1, verse number 12. It says here in John chapter 1, verse number 12, this is out of the New King James, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You're a child of God. Amen. I tell you what, when you know you're a child of God, when you know that God is your father, you don't look for love in the wrong places because you already have enough where you are. So then whatever else comes, it just adds on. It's like having a really awesome milkshake. The milkshake is awesome, right? I mean, it's just great. But then when they add on the whipped cream, right? We were at a place the other day, I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook, where they had a whole Hostess cupcake on top of a milkshake. I mean, how incredible is that? Right? I mean, the whole thing right there surrounded by whipped cream. Holy smokes. But you know what? That's how the love of God is. He fills you all the way to the top, and you've got enough. So that's enough. You're fine with that. But then when the love of people come, that's just the icing on the cake, the whipped cream on the milkshake. It's great to have. It's not necessary, but it's great to have. And it adds to what you already have. I am a child of God. But if you don't understand that, you're going to be constantly trying to get people to fill you from the bottom of your cup all the way up. And people do not have that ability. They don't have it. It's not that they don't love you. People can love you with everything they've got, but a person will never be God. Never be God. And sometimes that's the most important truth that we need to understand, that a person cannot be God to you. God is the one who fills us from the inside out. Amen. Let's look at another scripture here. Let me just read these out to you a little bit. In 1 John 4:16, it says, God is love. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. You know what drew you to God? Was how much he loves you. Amen. That's what draws us to God. That's why it's so important when you're talking with people and you're ministering with people, you're not like, oh, you better stop doing that, you better quit doing that, you better straighten up, and you better, you know, pointing the finger. This, nobody wants this. And that's not what God does. And when people do that, that's all about the religion side of it. The Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love, and he has drawn us to him with love and kindness. Amen? That's the love of God. Let's read a couple more of these. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first. God loved you first. And that's so important to remember, because if we don't know that God loves us first, we're going to put those masks on and we're going to try to get love a different way. We're going to try to get love from different areas, different sources, different things. And none of that's going to last. None of that's going to fill you. We got to know that God loves us first. And why that's so important. Here's why it's so important. You say, why is that so important? This is one of the foundational truths of Christianity, to understand that God loved you first. And here's why. Because if you think you loved him first, you don't understand his love. Because his love was for you before you knew him, before you knew right from wrong. When you were a sinner, the Bible says, when you were far from him. Ephesians says, even when I was deep in sin, your great love was for me. Oh, isn't that good? It's so important that we know that God loved us first, because if we don't have that understanding, our love can get based on performance and behavior. And here's the truth. You're not always going to be good. You're not always going to be able to perform. There's going to come a day where you blow it, and you blow it big. And that's true for all of us. There's going to come a day where somebody just pushes you just a little too far, and you say things you shouldn't say, and you do stuff you shouldn't do. I mean, that's life. And if you think that you loved God first, then you're going to be like, oh, I'm not where I was. God loved you before you knew anything. Amen. God loved you at your worst. The most famous scripture in the Bible is what? John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world. When you study that word out, really it's everyone without God. It's you without God. It's us at our worst. At my very worst. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And he didn't just stop there. That's what people do. They think, if I just say I love you, that's enough. That's not enough. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. He gave what was most precious to him. He gave for you and for me. And he gave when we were at our worst. So it's not based on me. It's not based on how good I am or how much I love God. It's not based on how much I pray. It's not based on if I come to church. It's not based on if I know the word. It's not based on if I act good, if I have good behavior. It's not based on any of that. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's based on how much he loves me. Amen? And we got to make God's love personal. Because so often we're like, oh, God loves you. God loves you. Oh, God loves you. God loves you. But you have to understand and know God loves me. God loves me. Because when we don't understand how much God loves us, we'll think the word is for the people he loves. If we think God's love is based on my performance, when I need him the most, I won't go to him. Because when you need God the most, it's usually because you're at your worst. It's because you've blown it. It's because you've done things that are shameful and you don't want anybody to know. And you can't talk to anybody. You can't tell anybody because you don't want anybody to know what you've done, what you've thought, or where you've been. Believe me, I've been there. And you need to know, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. The Bible is filled from Genesis to Revelation. It is filled with his love for me. You got to make it personal. I heard Max Lucado say this one time, and I never forgot it. He said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Isn't that good? It's so basic, but it makes it personal. If God had a refrigerator, I would be on it. You would be on it. Because who's on your refrigerator? People you love. Your family. Amen? Your kids, your grandkids, whatever. Dogs, of course. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Amen? And so we've got to make the love of God for us personal. And so today's Valentine's Day. And there's some people in here today, you got a Valentine, you're married, you got a Valentine, you're dating somebody. There's a whole lot of people in here today, and this year there's no Valentine. But you got to know you've got the best Valentine ever. Right. You have God the Father, who lavishes his love on you, who loves you with an everlasting love. It will never fade. It will never diminish. It will never change. You have a God who loves you when you're doing good and when you're not. You have a God who loves you when you're in the right place and when you're not. You have a God who loves you no matter what. You've got the best Valentine there is. And so let that fill you. Let that be the milkshake in your cup. Let that fill you all the way up, how much God loves you. And then when the time comes and God brings someone into your life, it's just going to add to what's already in you. Amen? And then you don't put an expectation on someone that they cannot fulfill. It's not your Valentine's job to make you happy. Amen? It's not your Valentine's job to make you feel loved. Only God can do that. Amen. And the good thing about God's love, it is not temporary. It is eternal. Amen. It will never change. It will never fade. It will never diminish. No matter how many wrinkles you get or maybe a few pounds or whatever, and we start feeling a little older, like, oh, you know, maybe I'm not as... No, that's getting love from the wrong thing. Doesn't matter what you look like. God loves you. Doesn't matter if you performed well. God loves you. Doesn't matter your position in life. God loves you. Doesn't matter. And so we got to make God's love personal and say, God loves me. And I know it. Amen. I know it. And I encourage you this week and next week, we're just going to talk about how much God loves us. Because sometimes we think everybody knows. We've all heard it. We've all heard it, but there's a difference between hearing something and getting something. Amen? You ever talk to somebody, you know they're not getting it? It's just like, and then you talk to somebody, and it's like you can almost see the light behind their eyes coming on. They're getting it. We got to make sure that that's how we are when somebody starts talking about how much God loves us, that there's a light behind our eyes that says, I get it. I get it. When you know how much God loves you, you'll be more bold in prayer.
That's right.
You'll be more bold in prayer. Because, I, you know, when I go to my dad's house, I'm bold there. I go right to the refrigerator. I open it up. If there's something in there, I take it. I don't ask. I don't have to. I'm bold with him. If I need something, I'll ask him. I'm bold with him. Why? Because he's my dad. And I know he loves me. And I know there's nothing he would withhold from me. Nothing. See, the more you know how much God loves you, the bolder you are in your relationship with him. Because you know he's your dad. And so let's just make a decision. I need, all of us can grow in it. Because Paul says, let us know the width, the depth, the length, and the height of God's love for us. It is so big that words can't describe how much God loves us. And so let's get it and let it change how we look at people. Let it change how we want and desire attention. Let's just let attention be something we get, not something we need. That's different. Because love and attention are two different things. Let's get filled up with real love so everything else is just a bonus. Amen? That's how much God loves us. Let me read a couple more scriptures to you, and we're going to close up here. The Bible tells me so. In 1 John 4:10, let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. You know why God will always give you what you need and not what you deserve? That's what mercy is. It's because of his great love for you. God's door is always open. He's always there. And he's always excited to see you. Because he loves you. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, my prayer for everyone here today is that we would have a deeper, more personal understanding of how much you love us. Lord, let us not be those people that just say, oh, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Let us be the people that can boldly say, God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Oh, your love for us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Holy Spirit. You're our helper. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. And we ask you to help us have a greater, deeper, fuller, larger experience and understanding of God's love. So much so that it's not just information, but it's transformation in our lives. Let it fill us from the inside all the way to the top. Lord, let us know and understand how much you love us. That's our heart's cry today, Lord. You are so good, and we are so thankful. If there's anyone here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, just for respect for people, let's not move around or anything. If you're here today and maybe you're a seeker, you're here and you're trying to figure this God thing out, and you're wondering, you know, is this real? Is this the real thing? Remember what that scripture said? It said, this is real love. God's love for you is the real thing. It is the real thing. It is what forgives sins, redeems you from wherever you've been. It is the healer of your soul. He is the good shepherd. And all he wants to do is for you to receive his love. Because, you know, God loves everybody. But there are so many people who have not received his love. You need to let God love on you. Let God heal you. Let God be a good, good father to you. Say, well, how do I do that? Just like when somebody wants to love you, you got to let them. You got to open up your heart to them. You got to let them in. And same thing with God. You got to let God love you. You have to open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to know your love. I want to feel your love. I want to receive the love you have for me through my Savior, Jesus Christ. I always say you got to start with start. The place to start is by saying yes to Jesus. Jesus is knocking on your heart saying, let me in, let me in, let me love you. But you got to say yes. Yes to who he is and what he's done. So if that's you and you're here today and you say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to open up my life to him and say, Lord, have your way in my life. Love me, forgive me, redeem me, heal me. Be my Lord and my Savior. If that's you today, with nobody looking around, just for people, if that's you and say, that's what I need. I need a Savior. I need a rescue from feeling unloved and unwanted and abandoned. I need a rescue from this world. I need Jesus. If that's you, with nobody looking around, just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Oh, I see your hand, honey. Anybody else? I need Jesus. Oh, for the sake of the one who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together because we are all family. We are children of God. So let's say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he gave his life, he died, and he rose again, all for me. I receive his love, his forgiveness, his power, and his assurance that I'm on my way to heaven. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? God's so good. So listen, if anybody says, who's your Valentine? You can say, Jesus is my Valentine. Amen? All right, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings.